Okay, so today is Daf Nun Ches. We're on Nun Zayin Amud Beis, I believe, by the two dots. So the Mishnah said, Nafalagina, if an onus happened and the animal falls into the garden, v'nehenis, and it gets benefit, we'll see what the benefit is, mishalemes masha nehenis. It pays for the benefit that it got. It's not paying for the damage it does, because there was an onus, but you're paying for the benefit. Okay. So Amar Rav, Rav says, what's the benefit that he has to pay for? It's b'shenechbita. It's that it got the flower pots, the fruit, or the vegetation in the garden cushioned the fall of the animal when it fell. It's k'shenech. There we go. K'shenechbita, right? That's what it means that it fell. It cushioned. I thought there was a Raj. Wait a second. Right, Amarav. Look at the first Lloyd line. Amarav, Hodikatoni Masha Nehenis Mishalemis, Shenechbita Kamar. Kishenechbita al Hatvua, Shikiosa Mekarka Vihevsidan. When it landed on the Tvua, it kind of destroyed the fruit, the sorry?
Tvua.
Right, so the Tvua. Vihi Nehenis Shalo Lakhtum in a Karka, but its core was cushioned, so that's where it got benefit. So, how, I guess you have to figure out how much would the owner pay to have a cushion, to something to cushion the fall. That's the benefit that he would get. You're not paying for the damage, you're paying for the benefit. So the Gemara says, makes a deal from there. Aval achla, but if it ate, let's say you went down, it's only saying that it pays for the benefit, if the benefit is that it got cushioned. So the Gemara has a havamina, aval achla, afilu masha nehenes, enem ishalemes, but what if it fell to the garden, and it ate the tefuah, right, fell by onus and ate the tefuah, so afilu masha enenes ena mishalemes. So you're saying it only be nechmata, but if it ate the stuff, it wouldn't have to pay. Right? Gemara says, Rashi says uparchinon. Aval achla masha enenes lo mishalemes bitmiya. That's a problem. Why would you say that benefit is not something that you would pay? You only pay on benefit if it. You only pay benefit if it cushioned the fall. So yeah, lema rava tamei. So you maybe say rava tamei. There's a wild havamina. The amar rav. Rav says, we said in a different context that if someone puts peros into the chatzir of the balabayis without the rishus of the balabayis, and the balabayis' animal eats the produce, and that animal gets damaged, the person who put the produce there is pater, because there was no reason for the animal to eat it. It should have prevented the animal from eating it. So the person who put the fruits down, he has no reason for the animal to eat it. So over here also, you would say, well, my animal shouldn't have eaten it. I shouldn't have been able, there's no reason for my animal shouldn't have eaten it. I'm honest, and therefore I should be potter. The Gemara says, wait a second, hachi hashda, there's no comparison. Emor the amarav hasam, haya lo shlo tochel, hechad the itazkahi. The matzi amarle mari de peri lo mishalamda. So hayelo lo shotochel lazuke yachriya the p'tilo sumi meyomer. It's very different. What are the two cases? Case over there is I put down the produce in your field, your animal eats it, and my produce causes the damage. So I can potter myself by saying your animal should not have eaten it. I can't say that my animal goes and eats your produce. My animal goes ahead and eats your produce, and you get damaged. Oh, I'm potter because my animal shouldn't have eaten it. Of course your animal shouldn't have eaten it. That's where you hide it. What are you talking about? It's only the opposite way. When I put down my produce and you get damaged, I can say I'm potter because your animal shouldn't have eaten it. But not if my animal causes the damage. So that's out. So what's going on? So how do you have this idea of nechmata? Because nechmata seems to say that the only benefit you pay is for the cushioning of the fall, not for the eating. So Ella, Lomi Bayi Ka Amar. It's not only. That's what Lomi Bayi, not only this, but this. Lomi Bayi Achla Di Mishalemes Masha Nehenis. For sure, if the animal falls by onus into the gino and then eats up some of the produce there, you have to pay the benefit you got from this food. How much you would have paid for somebody to get food like this to eat for your animal to eat? You're not chayav for the nesek because it's onus, but you are chayav for the benefit. We've had that split a few times in the Gemara. You're chayav for the benefit. So clearly, if my animal goes ahead and eats the produce that's in the field that it falls into, so I have to pay what I would have paid in order to have that to feed my animal, right? Aval nechmata. But when it comes to nechmata, the animal now falls and gets cushioned. So there's a benefit now in the cushioning because now my animal didn't get hurt. So I should be paying for the benefit that your produce, your field provided, that my animal didn't hit the floor, it didn't, your produce broke the fall. So aval nechbuta ema, maybe I would say in that case I shouldn't have to pay anything. Maybe I shouldn't have to pay anything because I would say that the bala sada, the owner of the sada, is mavriach ari mi nichde chaverohu. Maybe we could say that the owner of the field whose bed of plants is breaking the fall doesn't get paid because he's just a mavriach ari. A mavriach ari is someone who prevents loss for somebody else. I chase away the lion. So all I'm doing is I'm preventing your loss. And the halacha is mavriach ari doesn't get paid. So kamash milan here that this is not mavriach ari, and he still gets paid the amount of benefit that the owner of the shore that fell got. So the Gemara says, Vehmahakanami. Well, why isn't this mavriach ari? Seems all you're doing here is my field is preventing the loss of your animal because it's breaking the fall. So it should be, why is it not mavriach ari? I'm preventing damage. If I'm preventing your damage, the halacha is mavriach ari is potter. So what? All the time there's a loss to the owner, Mavriya Khari. You pay, we'll see in Tosos. You pay off somebody's loan for them. You pay off somebody's loan for them. Mavriya Khari. It's a big loss. So, but I don't have to pay you back. It's a lach of Mavriya Khari. So we'll see in Tosos if we have time.
Michael, did you say why this is not shame?
Because it's
onus. I know, the end result is, it's still that you get benefits.
So you're paying for the benefit, you're not paying for the damage. But it's a complete onus. The Gemara is going to figure out how is a complete onus. The Gemara says that later on, maybe a few lines, maybe he slipped on his urine, he got pushed off by another shore. It was unpreventable. It was unpreventable for the owner to foresee
even
that this
ends. Even though it's benefit.
So he's only paying for the benefit. He has to pay for that benefit.
Yes, but why isn't that shame?
Because shame, you pay for the damage. Here you're paying for the benefit. It's a different calculation.
Yes.
So the Gemara says, the Ema Hachanami. Maybe, why don't you say, I'm not going to be sure. So the thing slips, it falls, it falls into someone's garden, and it breaks the falls onto the stalks,
yeah.
And then it goes gets up and then starts eating. So now you're still putter for the damage done for eating.
Well, because
the whole process is considered an onus, I guess. So tell me what you're missing. I'll try to fill it in.
I'm going to go back to the very beginning. The animal falls into somebody else's private rishus, right?
Correct.
Under normal circumstances,
how did it fall?
I don't care how it fell.
No, it makes a big difference. It fell in the onus.
Bonus, okay.
Yeah.
Who's paying this? Who's supposed to be paying this or not?
The owner of the animal.
The owner of the animal.
Okay. Okay. So
I was under the impression that the guy who owns the field.
No, that's incorrect. The Ema Hachanami, say Mavriach Ari, so maybe it's Hachanami, say it's a Mavriach Ari. So the Gemara says, no, in order for it to be qualified as Mavriach Ari, you need to see either Mavriach Ari, Nisachaveru, Midaitahu, you have to do it Midas. You have to be preventing if something's loss going to happen to you, I have to knowingly prevent the loss. Here, I don't knowingly prevent the loss because it just falls in. I had no idea about it. Inami Mavriach Ari, Minichsechaveru, less Leipseda. When it comes to Mavriach Ari, that's only if there's no loss. I'm just going to prevent your loss for you without me having a loss. But here I have a loss because my produce is being destroyed. Hai isle pseida. Here there is pseida. Tosos goes and says it doesn't make any sense because we have plenty of cases, big long Tosos, plenty of cases throughout Shas that seem to violate this idea. Over here it seems to be indicating that in order for it to be mavriach ari, you have to have two qualifications. Number one, when I prevent your loss, I knowingly prevent your loss, and I don't suffer damages. Tosos is going to say, no, it's only one or the other. It's not two. So that's what Tosos says. This is what you were concerned about. He says, Tosos says, v'im tomar, v'hare poreya chaveir chovosh d'chashvin le'mavriach ari b'reish bein ein moder. If I pay off your loan, that's considered mavriach ari. And we say in the Gemara, in the Darim, that it's mavriach ari, you don't have to pay me back for paying off your loan. I forgot that it's lepseida. There's no bigger loss than that. I just lost $1,000 paying off your loan. Nevertheless, it's mavriach ari. Why? We just said that mavriach ari is if you don't have a loss. He says, v'yesh lomar, the hachi perusha. Tosso says, this is how the Gemara means. Mavriach ari minichse chaveiro midaito. You have to knowingly be preventing the loss. The cave under midaito, once it's midaito, I feel isle pseida. Even if there's a loss, even if you suffer a loss, meaning the saver suffers a loss, kimo pareya chovo chashiv mavriach ari. Because then it's mavriach ari. So the key point here is you have to have knowledge. You have to knowingly try to prevent the loss. Kimo Pareo Chovo, like we pay off the loan, Choshim of Riachari, but Hai Shalomi Daito, Choshim of Riachari, Hai Milano, Inami, Mavriachari, Nesavero, Filukish Enemy Daito, El Chavero, Machrichol, where's the line? If you go down a few more lines, he goes, the Kavan di Ike Tarti, you actually don't have both. If you have both, Shalomi Daito, if you say the low Choshim, here it is, Aval Midaito, if you say, if it's you do it knowingly, I feel isle pseida, even if you have a loss. O shalomi daito, or if I don't do it knowingly, viles le pseida, chashim avriach hariv, einos filos paro. It's one or the other. When the Gemara brings down an inami, it's not really inami. It's two, it's one or the other. If I knowingly prevent the loss, even if I lose, it's mavriach hariv. If I don't know about it, but I don't lose, then it's still mavriach hariv, and I don't have to pay. That makes sense because I didn't have any damage. What's going to pay? Okay, so that's Tosos. But now Tosos, what Tosos does, it's very long Tosos. It goes through a lot of cases throughout Shas to try to figure out what's Mavriach Hari, what's not. If you just continue, the next Gemara says, even Tomar, Debesof Socher Sapolim, Omer, we say, the Shomer Chinam, Shahailo Lakadim, Beroim, Umakalos. He should have chased away something, right, with Roim, Umakalos, Velo Kadam, and he doesn't, Chayev. Shomer Chinam should have prevented the loss without any outlay of cash. The Shomer Sachar Masachar should have outlayed a little bit of cash. Umasik to Choser Venotel. Choser Venotel me Balabayas. Umashma the Shomer Chinam lo mechayev lekadim besachar. Aval Koshakain im kadim besachar the Shapir Ovid Venotel Masha Hotzi. He doesn't have to pay, but if he does pay to prevent the loss, he gets paid back. Why? He's just Mavriach Hari. He shouldn't have to pay back. Umistabar, the Hua didn't inish the Alma. Same thing by Mistabar, makes sense by a regular person. She'enu Shomer, Vigam Socher Atzmo, no tell. He should get paid back. So, for Ainsvar Lachali, Bain Ro Atzmo, Shemut Love, the Sasek Lashmur, the Inish Alma. So, you see there, if the guy there isn't laying out cash, and he's getting paid back. So, what's going? He has a loss, he's doing it knowingly. And he's getting a loss. He's getting paid back. So Gemara goes, we don't have time, but the Tosfos goes through and tries to figure out all the different cases as to what's Mavriach Hari, what's not. But for our purposes right now, we're going to say our case is not Mavriach Hari because it wasn't knowledgeable and there was a loss. So it violates both cases. So therefore, it's not Mavriach Hari. So now the Gemara says, Hechi Nafal. So what's the case? The Gemara said that if the animal falls by onus into the garden, so you don't have to pay for the nezek, you're going to be paying for the benefit. So hechinafel, how did it fall? Rav Kana Amar shehuchlakal b'mei ragleh, it slipped on its own urine, and that fell in. That is completely not preventable. It's a complete onus, and therefore it fell in. Rav Amar shedichafasa chaverta, it got pushed by another shore. I guess one was walking this way, one was walking that way. It knocked it off, and it pushed it off to the side. So the Gemara's assumption is going to be that getting pushed off by another shore is less of an onus than it slipping on its own urine. Gemara says, "Manda Amar shedichavasach averta," that it fell by being pushed by a fellow shore. Kol shekain shehuchla meiragleh. If being pushed is an onus, kol shekain slipping on its own urine is going to be an onus. Umanda Amar shehuchla meiragleh. But the one who says that slipping on the urine, that's the onus. Aval dechavatach averta psha. But no, but again, it pushed off by your friend. That's not to the level of onus. That's going to be a pshia umishalem as masha hezika, and then I would have to pay what I damaged. Why? The amrale, because the reason being amrale iboylach abure chada chada. Why are you trying to force your way down the street? That's why I think it's going two different ways. You should have waited for one to pass, and the other one move to the side, and let one pass, and then move to the side, and then the other one goes through by trying to force your way through and getting pushed off. That's preventable, and therefore that wouldn't be considered onus, and therefore you wouldn't be on the level of only paying for the hana. You would have to pay for the nezek as well.
So which animal would
be paid? That's a good question. I think we're talking about the animal that fell. You shouldn't have been there. You should not.
Maybe they started through the first year. So you have to figure out
what the case is. That's what you figure out the cases. So Amarav Kahana, Lo Shanu, what we said that you putter to pay what it ate, right? We said you only putter to pay what it ate, you only have to pay for the benefit, you don't have to pay the damage, right? That's Ela Ba'osa Aruga. That's only on the row, it falls on a row and eats that row. That immediate row that it eats, since it fell on that row and saw the tefuah underneath it, it can't help itself and it ate it. It's still part of the onus of it slipping in. Avame aruga la aruga. But if it goes from one row of produce to the next row of produce, then mishalemes mashe zika. Then you have to pay damage, not just benefit. You have to pay the damage. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, afilu me arugal aruga, afilu kol hayom kulo. Even if it eats, if it falls into the field by onus and eats all produce all day long, and still the whole day, you're potter for the damage. Acha teitze v'tachzor ladas. Until it goes out and returns back into the field with the owner knowing. But until that point of time, you're still part of the onus.
But the other fields couldn't fall. Why?
Because it's all part of the onus. Right? It's all part of the onus.
It sounds more like collateral.
So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa, lo tema acha teitze ladas, v'tachzor ladas. Don't think that it means that the animal has to go out with the das of the owner and come back in with the das of the owner. Rather, el kevin sheyotze ladas. Once the owner knows that the animal left, af al pi shechazesh lo ladas, even if the owner doesn't know that it went back in, then they would still be chayv at that point in time for the animal going back in. My time al kevin de yalfa, kol emas de mishtamta lahasim rata. I guess once it tasted the forbidden fruit, it's always going to go back in. So now you have to have a shmira, elite me'ilus. So you have to have a higher shmira that your level has to go up higher to prevent this animal from going back into this field. But Yoni, your question is good. What are you talking about? What does that mean? It fell, it broke its fall,
right,
and now it eats that row. Okay, I hear that it eats that row because that's right there. Now it gets up and starts eating everywhere else.
Right.
So the answer could be is simply that it fell in my onus. What am I supposed to do now? I can't get it out. I'm thinking maybe if I had the ability to get it out, I say, no, I'm just going to leave it there. Then maybe right. But it fell in. I can't get it out. I can't trespass. It's got a big barbed wire fence. I can't get through. I'm trying my hardest. In the meantime, it's eating. It's still part of the onus that fell in. It got pushed by that other animal, and I can't do anything about it now. So I'm not going to be chayav for the damage.
But I don't see why the other eating is onus. I don't get
it. Because it's in the field by onus. It's my own. It's the onus of the owner.
I know, but
how did I? It fell in and threw away. That was not preventable. So anything that happens because of that onus, I'm not paying for the damage because onus is potter. I'm an onus. I'm causing damage to you. Yeah, but I'm causing damage to you via an onus, and therefore I'm potter.
Sounds like more inconsequential damages than consequential.
Yeah. Well, most contracts are that you're potter. There's no liability for consequential damages.
Right.
So there's no liability here.
Because it's consequential.
Well, I mean, we're making that up, but we're just saying that it's still part of the onus. I can't be chayav for the damage unless I was responsible for the damage occurring. I don't have any responsibility for the damage occurring because the whole thing was set in motion by something that I couldn't prevent, and I don't have the ability now to take it out. So therefore, what am I supposed to do?
It's collateral damage.
It's not collateral damage. It's onus. It's an onus.
Unless you have
So that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that you have an idea and you have an ability to take it out. And maybe at that point in time, maybe you would then start being chayav. Because what you're doing now you're being negligent by leaving it in. Okay. Yadar kedarka.
Once that happens, and it's any case of your animal going to somebody else.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking what Jesse's saying is that if you probably could take it out, then it's no longer an onus.
Right.
And it switches over, then you should have to pay for damage. That's what I'm thinking. I don't know. The Mishnah then said, Yarda Kedarka, if the animal just went into the other field, I mean, it didn't fall in, it went in Kedarka, the Hezika, and then it eats a row of produce, Mishalemesh Mash Hezika, then you pay for the damage. Then we have to figure out the calculation. So, Boy Rabbi Yirmiyah, a great Rabbi Yirmiyah question, where he gets this from, but that's Rabbi Yirmiyah. Yarda Kedarka, it goes into the field, right? So you are negligent, and it went into the field, and the Hezika B'meleda, and some gives birth. And the damage is done via the birth, or the liquids and everything that comes out, for the secretions that come out from the birth. Mahu, are you chayav to pay for that damage? So Aliba demanda amr tchilaso b'pshia b'sofa onus chayav lo tiboylach. According to Manda Amr says that if you tchilaso b'pshia b'sofa onus chayav, of course, yeah, you're onus that it gave birth, but you were poshe and letting it go in there, so tchilaso b'pshia b'sofa onus you're definitely chayav. Ki tiboylach, the question is according to Manda Amr, tchilaso b'pshia b'sofa onus pater. That it would be potter, and if tchilaso b'pshia b'sofa onus was an onus, I'm still be potter. The onus doesn't go back to the pshia. So what about here? My, is this considered an onus? Mi amrina, do we say here kevan tchilaso b'pshia b'sofa onus potter, and therefore you be potter? Oh hacha kula pshihu. Maybe here you say it's all one big posheya. The kevan the kachazi the kravali lemeled iboyle lenature. Maybe since you saw or you should have known that it's about to give birth. You know what's due, you shouldn't have it going around, you should be taking care of it and not letting it walk around, and therefore having it walk into the other field while on its due date is one big pshia, and therefore you would be chayev. Okay, and therefore, sorry, I didn't finish reading it, one second. The kevah, the chazi, the kriva, le melid, iboyle, le nanture, Ule is timure begava. I guess it means that you should have it. You should be much more careful about it walking through. So even according to that mandamer, you would still be chayev. Okay. Then the mission is, so our answer is teku. Right. I don't teku, really teku. They don't want to answer Rav Yirmiyah because they're annoyed with Rav Yirmiyah. I don't know. Rav Yirmiyah is the one who gets kicked out of the base medrash in Bava
Basra. So who decides to take it? Rav Yirmiyah or everyone else?
I guess Rav Yirmiyah asked the question and they didn't have an answer.
Right.
What? Savarai put in the teku, okay, the Stamamai, whoever it is, the editors of the Gemara, they put in the teku, they didn't hear, they don't have a Masorah of an answer, whatever. It's Rav Yirmiyah, so it's one of his questions. Right, the bird, 50 Amos, what about if it's one leg in, one leg out? That's Rav Yirmiyah. Can you imagine Rav Yirmiyah in the Daf Yom Yishir? In any Daf, wow, unbelievable.
Why is that question, Mike?
I never kicked you out. So... Because what Rav Yirmiyah is trying to do, Rav Yirmiyah is trying to get that right. He wants to define.
Your shear is not defined.
Right. He wants to make you absolute definition. Correct. Correct.
I have to make fun of him, but it's not.
Right. So Kates and Mishal Emes. So now this Gemara gets confusing. So how do you pay? So the Mishnah, if you look back in the Mishnah said Kates, right? Kates and Mishal Emes. The Mishnah said. You don't take that row and figure out how much a row of that produce costs in the market, because that would be too high of an evaluation. What you do, according to the Mishnah, is you take a base saw, how much a base saw is worth, and how much of that base saw would be worth minus that row. That's a lesser evaluation. Okay? So now the Gemara says, so how do I know that I do the evaluation not based on the row itself, but I have to do this calculation? Rav Master said, the Amar Kodah Pasuk says, Ubier b'stei acher. So you have to evaluate, Melamed sheshamim al gav stei acher. The stei acher means the evaluation is done based on another field. You have to take another field. The other field being this, the six, a base saw field, minus this amount. So the Gemara says, wait a second. We already used b'stei de acher in the beginning of the Masechta. V'hau b'yir stei acher mi'boy le lafuke b'shus ravim. That came to say acher means that you only chayev for shein if it's done in somebody else's property. But if shein rishus haravim, you are potter. So the Gemara says, no, im kain, we're going to be able to learn both from the pasuk. Im kain, if the pasuk has only come to teach me that the Torah of shein rishus haravim, lichtov rachmana ubir b'stei chaveru. What's the acher? Acher means another field. It's to say stei chaveru. So inami ubie sode acher. It ate in a different field. What's b'stei acher? My b'stei acher. Sheshamim agav nezek acher, agav sode acher. That you make the evaluation based on another field. The Gemara says, okay, you just made such a good case. Maybe that's what it means only, and it doesn't mean that you potter shem rishus harabim. The ema kulei lahachiyuda asa lafuke rishus harabim min olin. So how do I know that shem rishus harabim would be potter? So the Gemara says, im kain, if the pasuk was only going to teach me the evaluation based on another field, lichtevei rachman agav tashlumim. Then that bia b'stei acher should be written in the pasuk when the pasuk is talking about payment. Okay, how do you do the payment? B'stei acher. But here, and I guess therefore it should say, right, I guess the pasuk should say, meitav sadeh u'meitav kar mishalim b'stei acher. That's where it should have been paid. So lamli dekasi rachman agavi ubier. Why is it written by the bier, by the eating, ubier b'stei acher, it's in the wrong spot. Shema minatarki comes to teach us two things. So bia b'stei acher is teaching us, number one, that shame versus a rabbi is potter. Number two, when you make the evaluation of the damage, that valuation is done not based on the row itself, but it's based on a calculation of a full stay acher, which would be, we said here, which would be a base saw, right? A base saw. How much a base saw is worth complete? How much a base saw is worth minus that row? The damage is going to be probably negligible because it's not such a big amount. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Heichi Sharminan. How do you calculate? So I'm confused. What do you mean Heichi Sharminan? Mishnah just told us how to calculate. So what's Heichi Sharminan over here?
Why is that like regular damage? Why don't you just, how much it's worth? Why do you
because it's too high. It comes to be too high of valuation.
What case is it?
The case is my animal goes into your field and eats a row of produce. Right. It eats a row of vegetables. So if I want to go, if I figure out to eat 20 vegetables, so how much do 20 tomatoes cost in the market? Right. So the Mishnah, that's not how we do it. What we do is you take a whole base of tomatoes, how much it's worth, let's say it's worth $1,000, and if you subtract one row, or the amount that it ate, how much would that base saw that be worth? That's the amount you pay. That's what it says. The Gemara says, because that's going to be, it's, otherwise it's going to be too expensive for the mazik. I'm trying to find a fair price. So hey, Chishamina, you're saying, who do you mean? He did that. So I hear. So Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, how do you do it? Let's just read it first and then we'll go through it. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, how do you evaluate? Sa'a b'shishin sa'a. We start. Sa'a b'shishin sa'anin. Rav Yane Amar Tarka b'shishin Tarka bim, which is just basically half, because a Tarka is half of a sa'a. So so the first one is 60 by 60, the second one is 30 by 30. Chizki Amar Klach b'shishin Klachim. You just calculate one Klach based on 60 Klachim. So what's going on here? Can't move without Rashi, and Tosos just completely disagrees with Rashi, but I'm happy if maybe I understand Rashi, so I'm not going to go into to figure out Tosos yet. So Tosos says, Hei chishamin lebeis sadim asnisen. God bless you. It says, first says, sub a sign. Right, Rashi says, Hab beis sadim katalibim asnisen. This beis sadim, the Mishnah says, the beshvil aruga achas shamin beis sadim, for this one row of eight, you make the evaluation based on a beis sadim, Lav beisaba ape anpe nafshi shaminan de machishin le lamasik. We don't make the evaluation based on one beisaw. We don't say one beisaw minus that amount, because that's going to be too high of a valuation, and it's going to damage them. It's going to hurt the masik. Lefisha beisaw nim karis biyoker. One beisaw has a high price. Why? Lefisha muadu is a very slow supply of beisaws out there. The enu matzili makir, and it's not found to be sold. It's Adam Smith before Adam Smith. It's a low supply, so therefore the price is higher. The ani she'en yado maseges the demay karka gedola, an ani who can't pay a lot to get a big property, kona osir b'yosir midamav. He's willing to buy the smaller property for a higher price. They say it costs less than a bigger property. But, you know, if you compare, comparatively speaking, it's in a higher, the pro rata, it's a higher price. So, v'karechas aruga shel kavo kabayim chashiv lo lefidamav. And one row eaten off of that one field is going to be expensive. It's going to be more expensive because we're talking about a high priced property. So, Ella is a two-step process here. Ella shamin shishin sa'im kama shavin. We take 60 saw. How much is a 60 saw field worth? Right, v'roin kama damin magili beisah. Now I guess we divide it by 60th. We divide it by 60th. So the example, I believe, that the R score brings down, I have it written down. The example is, you make two calculations. You calculate 1/60th of 60 beisah. So if 60 beisah costs $600, so 1/60th of that is what? Is $10. Right. That's calculation number one. So now the beisah is $10, and now we subtract how much less a beisah worth $10 would be worth missing that row. Let's continue with the sign. It says, Ela shamin shishin soim kama shavin, v'roin kama dam magil beisah, v'chozrin v'shamin kama nifchasu dama b'shvil karachas arugazo. We make a double calculation. First we count 60 beisah, and then we take it by 1/60th, and then we get the valuation of a beisah, which was now the beisah valuation is not based on the price of a beisah being sold alone. It's based on it being 1/60th of the larger tract of land, which would lower the value. And then and then what you do is you see how much it less it's worth now with that row missing. That's according to Rav Yossi Bar Chanina. Rav Yane Amar Tarka B'Shishin Tarka B'Yim. It's Tarka B'Shishin Tarka B'Yim, which is basically 30 saw. But we're doing the calculation based on Tarka B'Yim. Rashi says, Shloshim sa'in shamin velo shishim. We make the evaluation off of a 30 base saw field, not a 60 base saw field, because he feels that the 60 base saw field is too cheap, and then the evaluation is going to be too low, and the Nizak's going to be learning out. How they know this, Yossi, I don't know, but that's the Mersora. He says, Shloshim sa'in shamin velo shishim de'im kem avsedes l'nizak. She'ain koni mitsuyin l'shishim sa'in. There's no demand for a 60 saw field, he says. It's too big a land. I mean, he's never been to Lawrence. It's too big of a land. No one buys that. It's too big. Nowadays, there's no such thing as too big.
Yeah,
right?
The bigger the better.
Most people are middle class, not upper class. So therefore, they don't have the means to buy such a big field. So therefore, it would be too low. So the same idea is you calculate based on a 30 base saw field, which is 60 tarkov. So what you do is if a 30 base saw field is worth 360, you divide that by 60, which is 60 tarkov, and then you multiply it by 2, because tarkov times 2 equals a beisah. So let's say it's worth, the article cases that if it's worth a 60 tarkov field, same thing, is worth 360, you divide that by 60, you get 6, you multiply it by 2, because you have to go to the beisah, so it's 12, so you get a little bit of a higher price. You get 12, and then you deduct that row facing the 12, to see it inside. Okay? Chizkiya.
I don't know why they don't calculate this based on, we always have a calculation on karka, we always have a calculation of bain is, zibor is. So this is a
no, bain is,
go down one.
But bain is zibor has nothing to do with the price. It just has to do with it has to do whether the field is a good field or not. If I have to pay you zibor is, I still have to pay you the same value. Makes no difference about the value.
But so if this is a good field, this field that was now ruined or they ate...
But it doesn't matter. I'm paying you back a value.
The dollar is the same.
All right.
Okay. So Chizkiya Amar Klach B'Shishim Klachim. So Chizkiya, Rashi says... Rashi says, "Masha achla b'samach si'orin kamosu." I think what it means is, though, what you do is you... He doesn't have this two-step process. The way I read it is that you deduct from the price of the land 60 times the amount of stalks eaten. Somehow you figure out how much exactly was eaten. So let's say he ate 100 stalks. So 100 times 60, right, you do 60 times that. 100 times 60 is 6,000. And then you deduct, and then you pay the reduction of 100 from a 6,000 stalk field. Basically what you do is you see how much it ate. It ate 100. You do times 60, makes it a 6,000 stalk field, and deduct how much a 6,000 stalk field would be worth if it only had 5,900 stalks in it. That seems
so
to be...
It's not easier for just the whatever damage it did.
Correct, but that it may be easier, but it would be wrong. That would be the way to do it.
It's the principle that rather than evaluate the loss on the benefit to the Malsik, which would be, you know, how much he would pay for that produce, it's the loss to the Nizik, which is...
Could be. And you want to make sure that's right. So you're looking at how much the Nizik has lost, not how much the Mazik has would have to pay for that amount. Because you're looking at the damage. That's a good point.
But building on what Jesse said, he's 100% right. Because if you think about it, it's all going to depend on how big the field is in general. For instance, if I have I went out into Olibo and bought so small stalks and ate up the whole stalks.
Right.
That small. If I go and count to what that is worth on a huge field, I just lost my pants. Because he just ate up everything I have. But if you take it in a larger field and it's a smaller amount, it's
right, but I think what Mr. Schaffer is saying is correct. That you're looking at how much damage is done to the person, the owner of the field. The person owner of the field, he could have sold it for $1,000. Now he can sell it for $999, so the damage is won.
Correct, but that number can...
Yeah, it will. That's where you have to do the... Devaluation. The number will.
Not according to the Gemara's word.
No, according to the Gemara's word, it does. It definitely. It's a standard calculation, but the calculation will change based on the basis.
Will it?
Yeah. Well, okay. I just did the calculation. If it's worth, let's say the base saw is worth 600. Maybe the base saw is worth.
All you're doing is changing the base saw's amount. It doesn't. That's going to be a given.
Right, but now you have to see.
That's an amount.
It depends. All depends. But all I'm paying is for what he lost. How much it is worth now, and how much it's worth when it's not there. So whatever that loss is, he's going to get paid for. He's getting paid the value that was lost. He's not getting paid the value that the Mazik benefit paid. He's getting paid the value that you lost. My field would have been worth $1,000. You ate that row, now my field is only worth $900. So you pay me $100. That get me back to my $1,000. You get me back to, you make me make restitution to where I'm even. I've heard that the machlokas, I don't remember between who, Rav Chazon Ish and somebody else, break somebody's window in the house. Somehow the shore breaks somebody's windows in the house. So how do you evaluate it? So if you evaluate it based on, you know, how much it was worth with the broken window or without the broken window, there's no loss. There's no loss there. So I have to figure out how that works. It's interesting because my house.
That's exactly
right,
what I'm referring to.
My house is $600,000. And now you broke a window, it's still worth $600,000. Right. But you have to figure that. But maybe my other one is different. We'll see in a moment. So that was that case. So Mesve. So basically you have now this whole idea is that you don't make the calculation based on itself, like where Yossi wants to do it. You make the calculation based on another field. So Gemara asks Mesve. I don't know what Gemara asks in Kashas. We learned that from Exeris and Kassav. The Pasuk told us that it's B'steyacher. The Gemara asks, Mesve, you learned it at Braisa. Achla kavo kabayim. You ate a kavo or kabayim worth. Ain omrim to shalom demayim. You don't pay back. You don't tell them to pay back the worth. El eroim oso ki hilo hi arua katano misharin oso. You pay. You look at to see whether it was a small row, and then you evaluate the small row. So my lav bifnei atzma. It seems to indicate that you evaluate what the row is valued on its own. So Moshe says, lo, b'shishim. You know, it's based on this calculation of 60. All right, fine. Next. Tana Rabbanan. Ain, and this, if I didn't understand the previously, you know, this one. Tana Rabbanan. Ain shamin mipnei shemashbicho. Sorry. Ain shamin kav mipnei shemashbicho v'lo base kor mipnei shepogmo. We don't make the valuation based on the kav that he eat, because that will be mashpiach, the nizak, he'll get too much. The low, we don't make the valuation based on a base core, mipnesha pogmo, because that's too big and that will cause him a loss. So Gemara says, Mike Amar, what's going on here? Amar papa hachik amar. Ain shamin kav b'shishim kavin, mipnesha mashpiach. We don't valuate the kav that he ate based off how much 60 kavin would be worth, and then say that this kav is worth 1/60th of 60 kavin, because that's going to that's mashbiach mazik. That means the mazik is going to be paying too little. He's going to be paying too little because I guess 60 kavin is not really marketable. I guess it's too big, so no one, there's no demand for it. So therefore, it's worth very little.
It's too big or too small.
Too big, because otherwise there's no demand for it. That's why the
bet. Isn't having more land not
bad? This isn't land. This is carbon. This is a produce. This is an amount.
I'm sorry, but having more would be bad.
But no one can afford it. It's too much of a product. No one can afford it. So therefore, there's no demand for it. And if there's no demand for it, so then the price of it is much lower. And if I take a 60th of that, I'm going to pay too little, right? And also the low core, and we don't evaluate based on a core b'shishim korim if they should pogim mazik. I guess that a core is very desirable because somebody who wants money, wants a lot of karkas, going to pay a core, and therefore that's a lot. That's very expensive. And if you take a 60th of that, it's going to be too much for the mazik. So mazik Rapuno Bar Manoach doesn't like the language, because what you have here is what Yoni sort of pointed out is that a kav is a measurement of produce, and a base core is a measurement of a field.
Right.
They're different measurements, different units. So Master of Kahana Bar Manoach, high low base core, the low core me violate. Your base, it says base core, when it should say, for you, what you're saying, it should say core, not base core. So Gemara says, Ela Amar of Hunra Bar Manoach, Rav Achra, Rav Ika, and this may be what you're saying, Yoni, Hachitai, this is what the Brisa says, Ain Shamin Ka Bifnei Atzmo. We don't evaluate the Ka that was eaten in and of itself, Bifnei Shemash Biach, Nizak, because that would mean the Nizak gets too much. If I take the amount that he ate and say, how much does that fetch in the market? That's going to be too much. The Nizak is going to get too much. Below, Kav base core. We don't take a Kav into a base core, which is a large amount, because Nipnei Shepogim. Because that's the base core is, I guess, a lower value, and therefore, a lot of people want to buy it, and therefore, if I evaluate based on the base core, then the amount of damage is going to be the lower price, and therefore, that's going to damage it's going to take away from the Nizaks what it's supposed to get. Elabashishan, rather we just do the 60th. Like we just do 60, which is a 3-way machlokos. How do we do the 60th? Just to go back for one question, Rashi had this two-step process. The only thing I want to point out on Tosos is, look at Tosos, this long Tosos, it's in the short lines, 1, 2, count with me, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It says Vikasha. It's something that's bothering, I think, all of us. It's Kasha, Tehecha Matino Shte Shumos Halalu. How do you know you make two valuations? Right?
Right.
It just says one evaluation. You evaluate based on another field. There's no. They come up with this. Rashi come up with this two-step evaluation. Tosos doesn't understand where he comes from. That's all I understood. Tosos. That's all I got. It was late last night. Okay. Right, let's go. Let's finish over here. The next case. So now he's going to bring a maysa about evaluating one field based off of another field. Ahu Gabra, I think the notes in art school over here are actually very good. So if you have time to chaz, you go through, it gives you all the calculations. He does a good job. Ahu Gabra, the katz kash from Yichavre. So you have this one guy who chopped down someone's tree. Asa the kami deresh galusa, he came in front of the exilarch to figure out, you know, what he owes. Amrele, the deresh galusa said, Lidi chazli, I saw that place where the tree was. Utlasa talasa bikina habukame. There were three trees together. And the three trees together are worth 100 zuz. Zilhavle plus and plus of itilsa. Go pay in 33 and a third. Because that's the way you want to do it. Just whatever was worth. So Gemara says, so Amar, the Mazik says, Gabi Reish Galus with Dan Dina de Parsoi Lamli. Why should I go to the Reish Galus and judge me in accordance with the Persian laws? That's not the laws. So we're going to see, rather, I also the comedy of Rav Nachman. So Amr Lei, no, Bashishin. You have to do the evaluation of Bashishin. How much would this field be worth less, a 60-so field be worth less with the tree or without the tree? So Amr Lei, Rav, wait a second. Rav said, we already know that you do this evaluation based on another field. Where is that possible? It's talking about Shane. It's talking about when you mamazik. Talking about an animal. Who says that happens that you do that by an other mamazik? Right? So he says, Im Amr Beniske Mamon, Yom Beniske Gufo. So Amr Abaye La Rava, and Abaye have a long proof to Rava from a long brisa that Beniske Gufo my daitich. What you think Beniske Gufo that you have to pay exactly what you damage? The Tanya, he said, where do you learn that? That maybe it's from as follows. The Tanya, the following brisa. Hamafkir Kamar Sochaveiro. So I think that means you destroy the vineyard of your friend. Smadar. Before they blossomed, the grapes are just smadar. They're not finished. So one man number says, Rowan Oso Kamahisa Yafa Kodan Lakane. You see how much it was worth beforehand, before the damage. Yikame Yafala Akhamikan, and how much it's worth after the damage? Fine. That's how you figure. The Ilu Bashishim Lokatani. It doesn't say 60 over there. So over there, you might be right, Rava. It seems to me that you're right that when it comes to other mamazik, you don't do this evaluation based on this. You just do how much was damaged. So he goes, So the Gemara says, so your problem being is that it doesn't say 60 in the Brisa. Now Abaye is going to bring a long Brisa where it doesn't even say 60 when it comes to your animal doing damage. Mm-hmm. And the upshot's going to be, well, if it doesn't say 60 by the animal, and we know that you have to do this by the animal, so not saying 60 in the Brisa doesn't show us anything, and therefore it could apply to a person as well. So now we can read the Brisa. So, Atu Gabi Behemto Nami Milo Tanya Kiyagavna. By your animal also has a Brisa as follows. The Tanya, Kitama Nitiya. I guess it chewed up a young tree. Rabbi Yossi on there, Rabbi Yossi says, Gozrik Zeros, those are the people in Yerushalayim, the Gozrik Zeros in Yerushalayim, they said, Omrim, Nitiya Bashnasa, they gave a set amount. Nitiya Bashnasa, Shtei Kesef. And so this is a set minimum amount. If it's 1 year old, you pay 2 Kesef. Bashtei Shonim Arba Kesef. That's a minimum amount for those. Achla Chazes, I think, it's translated as Shachas. I'm not sure what it's like, these bushes. Okay, perfect. So, great, thank you. Akla causes Rav Yossi Aglili Omer Nidon B'Mishuyer Shabo. You evaluated based on what would have been left over in the summer months. You see how much you would have lost. Chame Omer Rowan also Kamei Sayafa V'Kamei Yafa. You see how much it's worth. Karka is worth, and how much the karka is worth. How much karka is worth beforehand? How much the karka is worth now? Akla Smadar in 8. These unripened grapes. Rabbi Shua Omer Rowan Osam Kilu Hena Navim Omdos Libatzer. You take base the damage based on how much these smadars would be worth if they were fully grown grapes. You see how much the kaka is worth before, how much the kaka is worth now. When do we say make this evaluation? But if it only ate, I think that means the shoots. I'm not sure what that means. About achla pagim oboser, if it ate them when they were pagim or when they were boser, which is a very small amount, rowing also kilim enavim odos nivatzer. I think there's more amount. You see how much they were worth if they are fully grown. But nevertheless, when the katani miyas chacham omim rowing also kama haisa yafiv kama hi yafiv lo katani b'shishim. It just says how much they're worth before, how much they're worth now. Doesn't have this evaluation with the 60 that we went through. So if you don't have this evaluation with the 60, so you see, with the animal, we also don't have the evaluation with the 60. But we know it to be the case for the evaluation with the 60. Elamais l'meimer b'shishim. It has to be based on the 60th. Hachinami b'shishim. So too, when it comes to the person, it will be b'shishim. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have an excellent day. Kana b'kash over. So to spot. Right. What's the most important thing to do to the Mishnah? Lech Avitz Matzikoy Dio Teravi Adir.